Let's talk a little Rockets basketball, though, right now.
Tammy can talk Rockets as well as I can.
Yeah. I think we need to leave it to the experts.
This has been...
We'll take off NFL draft talk here, so...
This has been... is this even unbelievable to you?
Oh, what's going on? For sure, yeah. We're just like in the Small Bowl show where they decide to attack Michael Jordan with arrows. I'm trying to figure out where the arrows are going to come, because right now things are going well, so... my job is to sort of anticipate what problems may come up. So we're working on our execution at end of games, even though we haven't faced a lot of that. So we're
Does that concern? So I actually Dell brought it up and I agreed with him. The one thing that I think is a concern is sometimes when you do have those last 2 minute situations, we have seen some reverting back to old bad habits of stalling ball and late in the clock before you get into plays. But you really haven't faced a whole lot of – you haven't needed to. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, we're winning by 10 or more average.
Well,
per
I guess
game,
you'd rather do that.
Yeah, no, but the coaching staff, I mean, we have an incredible coaching staff, and they're – it's not like I need to be in there telling them. They're on top of these things and talking about end-of-game execution and which rotations work the best against certain lineups. So that's what we're working on now, is how to keep ourselves sharp, how to work on those things that are going to come up in the playoffs more than they are right now.
I'm a firm believer that the reason that, well, there's more than one. You can't just say one. I mean, James is number one. But beyond that, you did something really interesting with this. After last year and the way it ended, I just thought, well, I don't see any way this team is going to make this kind of run. And you made some small, Chris Paul wasn't small, incredibly important.
He's smaller. But
yeah. I think two moves that you made that were really important was Bamute and P.J. Tucker. And they allowed you, along with Trevor Reese and really Gerald Green as well, you have multiple switch defenders now. You have athletes with length who Golden State is a switch-oriented team. So are you guys. But you can defend it now where in the past – was that intentional? Were you – because you've even pointed out, hey – we're going after Golden State. That felt like a Golden State-related move.
Yeah, it was very intentional. And the other thing with both PJ and Emba is we thought Pat Beverly was a guy who just did all the dirty work and all that kind of stuff. And we felt like we had to give him up in the Chris Paul deal. But we felt like we needed another guy who did all the little things, the dirty work. And if you watch PJ or even Emba closely, I mean, both these guys are just flying everywhere. Even yesterday, there was a play where there was a breakaway, and PJ just did a little arm shiv to like knock it, so they couldn't get over to Clint, who dunked the ball. But absolutely, we felt like the only way to play Golden State is through switching. We needed guys who can switch multiple positions, and we needed guys who are ready to win now, because we knew that our window was going to be immediate with this group.
Daryl Morey is with us here, along with Tamari Cooper, in studio on ESPN. 97.5. What about minutes now towards the as you go down the stretch here?
Yeah, no, I think coach is really going to mix and match guys, try and keep guys from playing back to backs, but still have them out there and be sharp. So when you play 30, 35 minutes, but then give them a night off here and there. So that's the idea. Obviously, we still got to clinch the one seed. I think our magic number is 3. But we should hopefully take care of business and do that, and then it'll be about getting ourselves set up for the playoffs.
We've been talking about this a lot, is where this Rockets team ranks, and that's for us to do on talk radio. But comparing leagues, we talked about this quite a bit. There are really good teams in the league, and there are great players, and this may be the best time ever for players. But what about for teams? What do you think about? There's a lot of really bad teams in the league right now.
Well, I think there's just a general awareness in the league of what you need to optimize for when you're not a good team, and I think that's why you see lots of young players out there. Like yesterday, Atlanta obviously was putting a lot of players they hope could be part of their team in the future, but weren't really part of their rotation most of the season, trying out a bunch of D-League players. So I think the teams that know they're out of it are doing a lot of that, which is like just focused on the future, and that often leads to some maybe not great play down the stretch. So yeah, I do think the teams near the bottom are a little bit maybe worse to people's eyes than people, but those teams are doing, they're like, if we were that bad, we would be very focused on just development, just like they are. So,
well, tell the truth now. Les Alexander's gone.
Which part did I lie
about? Well, Les Alexander's gone. One of the reasons that I think you're a good general manager is you've been able... I don't think... When you lost Yao and Tracy at about the same time, that's like a house depreciating because you can always trade assets. You might trade them for 70 cents on the dollar, but you can always trade assets. You lost assets. You somehow got a first out of Tracy. You got nothing for Yao. So you lost that asset of your salary cap, and it kept hitting you while he was still on the cap. And you somehow were able to rebuild to a point that you got a number one in James. Was there ever a point Les Alexander didn't want to tank? A lot of teams tank, especially nowadays. Was there ever a time that the analytics side of you just said, look, the only way we're going to get great is if we get great players. The only way you do that is you have to be terrible at some stretch. Did you ever want to do that, but Les said no?
We talked about it. I mean, it was the key offseason was the year when we traded Lowry out to Toronto for that reverse protected pick. We were at a real crossroads there, and the reality was, we were going to have a bad season. That was the offseason we traded for James as well. We were going to have a bad year. I mean, I had prepared the owner at the time for us having a down year. But the reality was we never – to basically tear it all down, because we were actually a pretty good team. We were about a 500 team even losing – with Lowry, even losing those players – we weren't going to be able to – it wasn't going to be easy to trade our way into setting up – a really bad year like you're talking about. So I like to win. The owner at the time liked to win. So we ended up taking this sort of in-between route and obviously had the assets when James became available and he became available, which was somewhat unexpected. So we managed to avoid it. But almost always, in fact, there's really actually never been a team that never dropped below 500 between their sort of eras and then went on to be as good as we are right now. So it almost always takes at least one bad year historically.
So who's had a tougher job, you or Jeff Luhnow?
Jeff does an amazing job, yeah, so I don't even know. Yeah. He'd have to tell you.
He's got to put together 25 guys. You got to put together 8-9, right?
It's tougher easier. Than that. Like,
tougher than that. Okay.
Time intensity, probably him, although he has a much bigger staff, too. He's a great staff.
He had 300 lost seasons, but he got to build it through the draft with high draft picks. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that because your owner wouldn't let you do that. But there's only one team that goes out of the East every year, and it's whatever team LeBron is on. And Golden State is so good, you got to get through them. Different guys win it in baseball all the time. Which is it tougher to win in baseball or basketball?
I mean, I think they're both. I mean, both leagues have 30 to 32 teams, and only one gets to win. So they're both hard. I'm just jealous of Jeff. He did an amazing job, and I'm hoping to get where he is.
Did you go to any of the games?
The Astros game last year? Yeah. I didn't make any of the playoff games that were a bad time for us, but I did go the regular season.
That was a lot of fun.
How do basketball analytics and baseball, the sabermetrics of baseball, you know, every individual play is graded plus or minus. And so even if you're winning by seven, you want to have success as a pitcher or hitter. Do you think basketball and baseball, in terms of the way analytics run those sports now, do you think it's similar or what are the big differences?
I mean, baseball has been just going for longer. I mean, late 70s is where it really took off, and then obviously we're a few years later for all of us here. Basketball didn't really take off to the late 90s, so we're about 20 years behind in the development, and then you know the small ball island that's trying to get out there. they're just getting started. They do have a director of analytics on the island. Just, you know, yeah, yes.
They have a director.
It's the wife of the king, and it creates a lot of tension in their relationship. Actually,
you know, is that a play?
He's
is that
all
a
about
focus?
Passion, you know, yeah. And energy, and she's like.
Is that a focus on the in the musical? They have that actual.
They do. Yeah, they may be discovering new formula and new numbers on the island. So it's. It's a big part of the plot. So
where do you get tickets?
Smallballmusical.com.
Smallballmusical. Yeah. But there aren't many left.
There are not many left. A couple days sold out in the run, and most of the days only have a few tickets left. So if you jump out there, you can get them now.
I would just say too that this is a really funny show, and you know sometimes when I do some of our shows, they're a little more unusual, and I'll have a guy come up who's like, oh my God, my girlfriend or my wife was telling me I had to go to a musical. And I was just like, oh no, I don't want to do this. But this was so fun and this was crazy. And I would put this in the same category.
Yeah, it's funny and it's about basketball and it's about, you know, it's got a love story. It's got something for everybody, John, even you. Even your cold Grinch heart would maybe like Small Ball Musical.
You're the mean one.
How many does it seat? How many does the theater seat?
It's about 120.
120.
Yeah, that's why we don't have any tickets.
Yeah.
Which is big, by the way, for theater productions a lot of times. It's actually, depending on the theater you're in, that's actually a decent size.
Yeah. And it's already, so you better get there in a hurry. Of course, I'll get mine. I'll get mine free, I'm sure. But
you just show up and expect to get in.
Hey, where's my name?
You and Jeff Van Gundy.
Hey,
it's about me.
Son's a famous quarterback.
You don't have any cynical sports talk show guys on there.
Absolutely. Tamari. Tamari is a cynical sports writer.
Was I the inspiration or no?
I'm taking it from you today. Thank I'm doing you. Some dramaturgy.
Kid Jerome Solomon.
The show literally is in these post-game press conferences. Obviously, other things happen, and maybe the two biggest characters outside of the Lily and Michael Jordan are the two sportscasters who are lobbing these very annoying questions at them all game from the audience.
Annoying questions.
Apparently this is from a team's perspective.
Exactly.
Do you guys
come, we'll give you a question.
That'd be great. Here's another question. At any point in the musical, Are the director of analytics or any of those guys not allowed to be on any of the other shows, like any of the other answer questions from certain types of newspapers or anything like that? I just want to get the full scope of everything.
Yeah, there's a PR person as well handling all those dynamics. Yes, so
there's a PR person? No, not really.
There's actually no. That's way too boring.
This is way.
Billy Beane was played by Brad Pitt. Okay, who plays the general manager of the team on this one?
McLovin.
McLovin.
Yeah.
you're played Chris by Spence McLovin. Platt.
Chris Spence Platt. I don't think I have a role. Yeah, I was just dramaturg.
You don't have a Daryl Morey character in this thing?
Well, the wife, the queen, is the director of analytics for the team.
Oh, okay.
So we made him a lady.
All right.
My wife is super smart and logical. She was the inspiration probably for this wife of the king character. The king is not good, by the way. The king drinks and is like,
hey.
Played by John Granato.
Wait a minute, slow down. Okay, why is drinking always get a bad name? When did this happen?
Heavy drinking and lots of yelling and commanding people to shoot arrows at.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Look at Dell just pointed right at you. Okay. Maybe it is
a lot of yelling and drinking. What the hell? That's a good thing.
Well, it's a good run for you, Daryl. You get your first musical that you are a producer of, Small Ball. I say first, maybe we'll see more. And of course, Rockets with the first ever 60-win season, franchise record, and we're still going 33-3 in the last 36. Of course, playoffs coming up as well. So, good run for you, and we'll hopefully the musical run goes well, and hopefully we go back to back on sports. We're just passing over the Texan season.
Yeah. Well, we're not passing over the Texan season. We got Deshaun coming back, right?
No, but I mean back to back. I said back to back. The Texans did play.
Yeah.
Between the Rockets and Astros.
Deshaun back plus the moves. Football, anything can happen.
You're damn right, Daryl. Thank you. Anything can happen with Deshaun on the field.
And anything happens at smallballmusical.com. I gotta put on my producer hat on here. Yeah.
Look how good he is.
Rolls it right back.
Smallballmusical.
You guys have any ads you want me to read?
Rockets.com, three-year VIP package.
You want to talk about Renter's Warehouse?
Renter's Warehouse is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what Catastrophic got started at. The theater was basically Renter's Warehouse.
Renter's Warehouse started them?
Exactly. And now they've upgraded this amazing match center that is really an incredible venue.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And best of luck. I don't know if you need it. I mean, you're already selling out. And after today, it'll be also.
Well, you need the reviews to be good. You're trying to get that thing to the big time.
Well,
so I'm just saying it's not over, John.
Can we
expect, you got to play the game. You got to play the game.
Can we expect a review from you?
You can.
Yeah, I want right a here. Full break, I will a full write draft pick
writing,
breakdown.
I'm going to write it for Sports.
I'm writing a Sports Map.
No,
so you have to come, John. You still got to get a ticket somehow.
Well, not if I'm going to review it. Do reviewers have to buy tickets? What the
It's a tough ticket, John.
What the bleep?
If I'm going to review it.
Don't wait, Tamri. Don't wait.
I will comp your ticket.
Thank you. Thank you. You see?
Well, you want to watch the score?
I'm trying to turn a profit.
I'll just build a producer.
Now he's the owner. He's not giving away any tickets. What the hell?
Was like,
oh, yeah. When Les is, hey, John, you need some tickets? Yeah, here. Les was on it, yeah.
$1 billion buyer. He's learned a little, business sense here. No,
yeah,
one thing I don't do is give away tickets. Boom.
Boom. How's that?
You are.
So cool. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Daryl, thanks for stopping by. We know it's going to cost you in the long run. Everybody's going to bitch about you being in here. So we appreciate it. Smallballmusical.com. Smallballmusical.com.
Smallballmusical.com. And, of course, Rockets.com for season tickets.